Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Ben Olson, that's Nathan Fox. Together we're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. We have another email here from Anonymous.
Anonymous writes us all the time.
Yeah, who is this person?
Hi Ben and Nathan, first of all, I hope you are both doing well. Are you doing well, Ben?
Yeah, I'm doing well, thanks.
Ben's in his new office, by the way. He had to escape his family, his menagerie of
Menagerie? I've never heard that word before.
You've never heard the word menagerie?
No,
I might not be pronouncing it right, but and I think it refers to
Did you
animals.
Mean mayhem?
Yes.
Is that what you
no,
mean?
No, menagerie is a collection of wild animals kept in captivity for exhibition.
Okay, well, it's maybe not that bad, but you know, I do have four boys, and Maria's got a daughter and an older son. So yeah, there's a lot of people.
And it's summer vacation. And so next thing I log on to record with Ben and I see the blue background behind him and I'm like, wait, what happened? He's like, I got the fuck out. Okay. To provide a little context before my question, I'm currently scoring in the low to mid 160s. For LR, I am able to complete about 20 questions. For LG, I'm able to complete 3 games and the fourth every once in a while. For RC, I'm able to complete 3 passages with about 3 to 4 minutes left for the last passage. I get about 0 to 1 questions wrong per section out of the ones I have time to attempt.
Okay. That's a wordy way of saying that you're getting essentially almost 100% correct on the questions you are doing.
Yeah, I rarely miss questions. I sometimes drop one.
Got it.
When I later try to get the questions that I did not have time to attempt, I am able to get them all correct. This makes me feel as if the only thing keeping me out of the 170s right now is not being able to get more of each section done. Having been using Demon Live for some time, I understand the importance of not worrying about the clock and just focusing on accuracy. However, I have been at the same point in terms of how many questions I complete per section for a few months now, although my accuracy has increased. Based on this, do you think continuing to focus on accuracy and strengthening my understanding of the test itself will eventually translate to getting more questions done in each section? Thank you, et cetera, et cetera. Thank you for your help and making the LSAT easier one question at a time. Anonymous.
Okay, well, I think Anonymous is definitely heading down the right path. I'm glad that Anonymous is getting so many of these questions correct. But I want to start with games. So Anonymous says, for logic games, I am able to complete 3 games and the fourth every once in a while. It's totally possible to get 100% on the questions you do in games and not be doing them in a very effective way. It's good. It means you understand something about what's going on, but it's possible that you're right, testing each individual answer choice, for example, as opposed to creating worlds or something like that. So at least in the games, I would say start by looking at the videos, start by trying to do the games in different ways to test out, you know, worlds using different base variables and so on. Yes, focus on accuracy, but also continue to strengthen your understanding so you get your mind wrapped around the test more. That will lead to speed.
Yeah, you're already right there on games.
Yeah.
I mean, you are sometimes getting the fourth one, so you're getting an inkling of what it's like. Mm-hmm. I think you just need to keep doing what you've been doing, but I, you know, not just on games, but on the entire test, I do want you to stay the course as far as continue to strengthen your understanding of the test itself. If you're ever going to go fast on games, it's because you solve the system up front. Mm-hmm. With worlds or whatever, but you just make the deductions that are there to be made, and then you just answer all the questions in like a minute.
Yeah.
And you did do that on one or two of the games, and next thing you know, you finish the section on time.
Yeah.
On logical reasoning and reading comprehension, the way you're going to go fast is by predicting the answers and having the wrong answers look like shit so that you don't have to continue comparing answers to one another.
Mm-hmm.
Students that are slow, you're slow because you didn't understand enough when you read it. You didn't make a good enough prediction. You went into the answer choices hoping that A would be correct. You give A way too much respect. You give B way too much respect. You give C way too much respect. Next thing you know, you've got two or three contenders.
Mm-hmm.
And you're comparing bullshit to other bullshit, which hopefully includes one of them is not bullshit. One of them is the right answer. Sometimes you're comparing two wrong answers to one another.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't sound like it's happening to Anonymous, because Anonymous is getting most of these questions right. But the way you're going to go fast is by dismissing wrong answers just right off the bat. Like, you read three words and you're like, nope, next. The thing, so I don't want Anonymous to fall into the trap of, like, right now, let's say Anonymous is getting 20 questions. Anonymous obviously wants to get 25 questions.
Yep.
But that's not what Anonymous should be thinking about. Anonymous should be thinking about confidently, accurately getting 20 in a row right. And then magic just, oh, wait a minute, I have 3 minutes left. And doing number 21.
Mm.
Because if you keep doing what you've been doing, Anonymous, all you have to do is get to one more question. You know, maybe it'll happen in the next couple of weeks. You get to one more question each section, but you get it right without compromising your accuracy on the first 20.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, it's like every single question you get right increases your LSAT score by a point.
Yeah.
Right now, low to mid 160s, but one more question per section, now you're in the mid to high 160s.
Yeah.
And then one more question on top of that, and now you're in the high 160s, knocking on the door of 170.
Yeah.
So it's like, really, it's like a total of two more questions per section. I mean, games for sure. Like, you need that fourth game. But you're not going to get there by rushing. In fact, you're going to get there by spending more time on your setups so that the questions go more quickly. And then on logical reasoning and reading comp, you're not going to get there by rushing to the answer choices. You're going to get there by understanding more of the passage, making better predictions, and then just knocking out, like, the wrong answers should start to look like absolute shit. And when they do, that's when you're going to be just kind of cruising through the section. You're still going to be getting them all right. They're just all going to seem really easy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, yeah, you don't have to finish. You just, you know, you just easily, naturally, without even trying.
Yeah.
Get the first 20 in a row right, and then have a few minutes left and do one more.
Yeah.
I really hope that the student does not change their strategy and, like, start trying to finish sections, or, you know, like, well, I need to make sure that I'm, like, keep it moving. Like, oh, I got to get the first 10 in 10 minutes or whatever, like that.
Yeah.
I feel like would be a disaster, because the student would start dropping some of the easier, earlier questions, and then also potentially cause themselves speed problems, ironically, because they would all of a sudden they'd be like, well, this test felt really hard.
I do want to double down on what you're talking about when it comes to the answer choices. I feel like that's where most of the speed gains end up taking place.
Yep.
As you understand the test better, because as you understand the test better, you start to see more than one reason why so many of these answers are wrong, which means you can see the first reason, right? As opposed to the last reason. And then you're like, you read three words and you're like, nope, sorry, that's wrong for this reason. I'm out of here. Whereas other people are reading that entire answer, they're getting to the end of that answer and then they see why it's wrong, which is great. So you got your accuracy down, but you're still, like, your understanding of the test is not as complete as others.
That's really interesting. In class, sometimes I have the experience of, I will confidently eliminate an answer that I've only read the first half of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then students will chime in and go, but isn't D actual? They'll say actually, but isn't D actually wrong because of this reason?
Yeah. Yeah.
And frequently it's it's a better reason.
It can be a better reason. Yep.
It's like, well, yeah, that too.
And that really kills it, but so did the first one. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I confidently eliminated that answer.
Mm-hmm.
I just, or it's like, Maybe I hadn't even arrived at really a very clear reason why I was dismissing that answer. It was like my spidey sense just told me it wasn't the answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like that, because that's how it's done. That's the difference between hoping answers are right and expecting answers to be wrong. I'm mm-hmm. expecting answers to be wrong. So it's like, mm-hmm. no, I already saw an answer that I like, or no, I know what I'm looking for. And mm-hmm. when I read the first half of an answer that has an 80% chance of being wrong, I got a quick trigger. I don't need to be 100% sure that I'm eliminating that answer. Like, I don't have to justify why I'm not picking that answer.
Mm-hmm.
I only have to justify why I am picking the answer that I pick.
Yeah.
And as long as I feel good enough about that answer that I'm picking, then these wrong answers, oh, I don't know, I couldn't have been right. Like the first few words, it was going off in the wrong direction. See, that's not a clear articulation of why it is conclusively wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But in the moment, that's how I actually would have dismissed it. I would have just been like, I wouldn't have had the patience for it. I would have been like, yeah, whatever you're going to fucking talk about. Like, I'm sure you're going to be wrong for whatever reason.
Yeah.
That's where the speed comes from. You know, you're not an LSAT teacher. When you're doing the test, you're not an LSAT teacher. You're not writing a book about this question. Again, you do not have to justify why you're not picking that answer. Now, you should be able to. And when you're reviewing, you should be like, oh, shit, I missed this one.
Yeah.
What did I do here? Uh-oh, I picked a wrong answer. That's a mistake. I also didn't pick the right answer. That's a mistake. So maybe there, you know, you dismissed that answer too quickly. And if that's happening a lot, then you're not as good as you think you are. And maybe you do need to slow down a little bit. But if you're like Anonymous and you're sometimes, you know, if he's saying he's or he or she is getting -0 frequently, well, then maybe you do need to let go of those wrong answers a little bit more easily. Because you know what a right answer feels like.
Yeah. Yeah, it's certainly possible that you're talking yourself through each wrong answer. And you need to do less of that.
Right.
Yeah. So there are these answers that you're getting rid of before you even finish them because they're going in the wrong direction. And maybe you can't clearly articulate why they're wrong, but it's like, no, not good. And I have this other one that is good. But there are also plenty of cases where it's like I'm reading the first four words and it's not like, oh, it doesn't seem right. It's like, no, that's
this wrong. Is explicitly wrong. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just I got a real quick trigger. I know it's wrong 4 out of 5 times.
Yeah.
So I read those first few words and if it could be totally wrong or it could be going off and meandering. And in either case, I'm going to provisionally say, nope, that's not the answer.
Yeah.
Now, that means that I will sometimes eliminate all five. Eliminate all five. You know, just I won't love any of them on the first time through. And that's when, okay, now I got to be a little bit more generous, give them a little bit more patience. But still, I'm going to be like, first four words, no, that one is wrong. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Some of them I'll have to read the whole thing and go, no, that's wrong. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Yeah.
And then one of them that I might have dismissed too hastily on the first time through, I'll read the whole thing and I'll go, oh, okay. I see. I thought you were meandering, but it turns out you righted the ship and you actually answered the question and that's correct. So I'll pick it because I'm not going to pick any of the wrong answers, right? But like on the first time through, I guess that maybe that's this is a long way of getting around to this, but that's a question that we could ask Anonymous. When someone says something like this, I would be curious, how often are you eliminating all five answers on your first time through? Because you should probably be doing that sometimes. And if you're never doing that, then I definitely have that suspicion that you're, you know, trying to justify why wrong answers are wrong.
Yeah, I guess the point here is that when we say focus on accuracy, we want you to focus on doing this test correctly. We don't want you to be sloppy. We want you to read and understand and be careful. But really, what we're saying is make sure you're being careful with the passage, being careful with the question. But as you start to get into the answers, not that we want you to misread things, but this is where you can be more aggressive.
Yeah, because, yeah, careful with your prediction and careful with the answer you pick. I mean, with you're vouching you for pick, that answer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You do have to justify why you're picking the answer. You should be able to defend the answer that you're picking.
Yep.
But the answers that you're not picking, you're not picking them. So, yeah, I mean, you read it and it just didn't smell right. You know, you looked at it. Nah, I don't think so.
Yeah,
that's fine. I mean, that's really how we're doing it normally, right? Mm-hmm. You're not sitting there, Ben. You're not like actually articulating exactly why you're dismissing every answer. You're just reading it and going, I don't.
Yeah. And that's why, too, sometimes in class, people are like, well, that question took a long time to like get through. You know, would you spend that long on the actual LSAT? And it's like, well, no, because we're talking, and two, because I'm trying to help you see why this answer is wrong. But in a lot of cases, like, I would have just moved on.
Yeah. In real life, I would have just like known that they weren't going where they needed to go and just said goodbye.
Yeah.
It's like probably half the answers are like that.
Yeah.
Cool. Email daily at lsatdemon.com if you'd like to contribute to that conversation. We'd love to hear if you're eliminating all five answers. We need to hear that. If you're not ever eliminating all five answers, we'd like to hear that too. So daily at lsatdemon.com. Thanks for listening.